أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل نحبطوا منها جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هدايا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العظيم.
قل نحبط منها جميعا. To everybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go down. Yani, in other words, Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's children, everyone. And where is Allah ta'ala sending everybody? To the dunya, to this world. Why? Due to the consequences, the punishment. In other words, sending them out of paradise to the world. Just like in the world, when a punishment is given, then you are sent, expelled from the world into the jail. So here, sending Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, all his children out of paradise into the jail of this world, the jail. So it's apparent, it's obvious, if this is the jail, the prison, then obviously there's difficulties and issues and problems and distresses. What else will you find inside the jail? The meaning of jail or prison, where a person's inside, is that nothing's according to your desires and your needs and wants, but it's according to the jailer. If the jailer says, that's what happens. If you want to eat something nice, you will only eat or get given to eat the dal or whatever's cooked. If you want to sleep, you can't sleep when you want. Because when he says sleep, only then can you sleep. And if his heart feels like he wants to stay awake, you say no. Only when the lights are off. So this is the condition of the jail, because it's a place of punishment, severity. So if we look at the world, we have to accept mentally that this is the place of punishment. It's a temporary abode. If there's ups and downs, it's nothing, the ups and downs and the challenges. This will continue. So here Allah Ta'ala sent us to this world. But there's one thing we need to remember. That Allah Ta'ala has sent us to this world. He has. For explaining, Allah Ta'ala has drawn the sketch of the whole world, that this is what's in the world. There will be negative things, there will be satanic things, there will be losses, there will be distress and sadness and loss upon loss upon loss in the dunya. It's nothing else. This was the introduction, the definition of the world. But remember one thing, Allah Ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stated in the Quran, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala, who made this dunya? Allah made this dunya. This is Allah Ta'ala's creation, Allah Ta'ala's world. And everything from the atom, particle of dust, everything we see in the world, in the universe surrounding us, no company made it, no organization, corporation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya, this world. So Allah Ta'ala stated, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. That if you have issues, worries, losses, everything's there. But Allah Ta'ala said on top of that nothing here is wrong. Nothing is defective. Everything is correct, aligned. So in other words, the loss is correct, the sadness is correct, the illness is correct, the tests are fine, that Allah Ta'ala has put our way, sent our way. So first thing we need to understand is nothing in the dunya is wrong or defective or negative. Or yes, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanak, that Allah who has created this world, let us say subhanak, that everything is free from defects, no naqs. It's free, zero defects, the world. So when Allah creates and manufactures something, how can we pick bones in it? How can we look for cracks in it or defects in it? The example in the dunya, if we look at good cars, we look first, who's manufactured this car? Which company has manufactured it? How famous? The more famous the manufacturer, popular, the more popular is the car, the person will say, I'll give a bit more money for this, I'll buy this. Because there'll be less defects in there, more guarantee, more reliability, more quality. A good company has manufactured it, so there won't be many defects or things to go wrong. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Subhanak, can there be anyone greater than Allah? There's no one greater than Allah. Can there be? There's nobody. So Allah manufactured the world, made the world, created the world from the atom particle, the small dust to the biggest thing. There's nothing in the world which is defective or wrong. Everything is fine. There's nothing batil, nothing false, nothing wrong. No issues, no bones to pick. So when we see science advancing in the world, we start to see the benefits of many things in the world. And if we see the smallest thing in the world is the dust particle in the world. And what the dust particle, people put that together and then they say there's the atom under the microscope, the cells, everyday life. We see, for example, things that we throw away, rubbish, and that starts to be recycled. And many good things, benefits come out of that. Plastics are recycled, paper, cardboard, things are recycled. We utilize them, we throw them into the bin. Smell comes from the refuse waste items. Why? It was Allah Ta'ala has created everything. And Allah says, Subhanak, glory be to Allah, who's free from all defects, and whatever He's made is free from defects. How can anything be wrong? So, Allah Ta'ala has made the dunya. It cannot be wrong, can it? Everything Allah Ta'ala has made, there's wisdom, there's hikmah. So how can it be that we look for defects or say that there's something wrong with what Allah Ta'ala has made? So how can it be that there's no benefit in what Allah Ta'ala has made? So there's one thing here, is that we don't understand what are the superior benefits of the world for us. We can blame our minds, our intellects, our brains. That, for example, I said to you that 100, 200 years ago, there were people. And how do we know the things that we're calling beneficial today after research and technology, we're benefiting from them, but they couldn't imagine benefiting from those things. They couldn't even think that this will benefit us and this is good for us, etc. So here, a person, he should have proper yaqeen that everything is within Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. No illness, problem, distress, issue, calamity. Nothing is defective. Rabbana, Allah Ta'ala says, ma khalaqta hadha batila. Nothing has any falsehood or any defect in it. Allah's wisdom is behind this. Whoever has understood this, he's learned how to live life in the world. Yes, he's learned to live life in the world. We haven't made this dunya, this defect, this defect, this defect. No, everything is fine that's around us. Everything is good. It's in order. And any of the issues that we experience and losses or illness or diseases, there's no loss. There's benefit. Now look today, the sickness of today, the illness of today, coronavirus. Now what benefit can you see from this apparently? Can you? Thousands of people dying, difficulties, problems, issues, worries. Everything's in front of us, isn't it? But remember one point clearly, that all the adab Allah Ta'ala sends, what's the biggest reason for it? The sins of the human beings. And when the sins come, if coronavirus, if you look at it as a punishment, if the sins of people increase and increase and increase, that we're not saved in the oceans or in the air, in the skies, forget about the earth, that even in the skies a person's flying and he sins. This is in front of us today. That if you sit in a flight, there's alcohol, there's women folk, and what Allah knows, there are even maybe swimming pools or jacuzzis in swimming pools, places to play and recreational activities. So even in the skies there's sin, in the seas and oceans there's sin. And so we weren't going to leave the earth's crust, the earth, that even in the ocean, in the seas, on boats, people are sinning. When the sins increase, when the human being sins increase, what happens? And a person sins when he's ghafil, when he's ignorant, when he's not interested. The ghaflat, ignorance, laziness is the biggest sin, the cause of sin. And the friends of Allah have determine this secret, that to eliminate sins, first you have to get rid of ignorance, laziness. Remember this. Always when a person commits sins, he's a ghafil. He's a ghafil. Because ghaflat takes a person to sin. A person who's conscious will never, a person who's aware will never commit sins. When he's not aware, when he opens his eyes, he regrets, oh, how did I commit these sins? He cries, he shrieks, he screams. When he does tawbah, a human being is like a person when he's sleeping and he's doing dirty things. When he opens his eyes, how comes this occurred? I didn't do this. What was this? In the same way, when a person's blind, ghafil, ignorant, he's doing zina, stealing, when he doesn't look any, and he doesn't regard anyone, even with the mother, people do impure actions, wrong actions with sisters, impure actions. We see this, we've heard about this, was their ghafil. And the ghaflat, the ignorance, it takes a person towards blindness and sin. The more he's a ghafil, the more sinful he is, that person. So the worst thing for a human being is ghaflat, when he is ignorant, lazy, takes him towards sin. So in the dunya, the sins, when they have spread so much in the world, on every square foot or mile, there's a sin. In the homes, so many homes, there's sin. People are listening. I ask forgiveness. Even in the homes, they're full of sins. The homes are full of sins. Household full of sins. Well, Allah Ta'ala has defined as sins, and what we don't consider sins. We don't consider it a sin, but in Allah's kitab is defined as sin. The homes are full of sins. Family lives, households, filled to the brim. And this is the sign due to the root cause of ghaflat, ignorance. Ladies, now let's look at coronavirus. Coronavirus, let's understand the meaning of it. This fakir, what I've understood, I'll share with you, it's a sickness, yes, it's a disease. But when ghaflat, ignorance spread, then this disease came. This disease came, somebody manufactured it, or it was sent. There are theories, many theories, but everything is come from Allah. It is a disease. It is a disease, yes. And we can say many theories that He released it, it came from it, but it's Allah who is in control. So Allah Ta'ala sent the adab in this form, that may be via a human being, or is engineered, or whatever, wherever it came from. But it's adab. There are two signs of adab. That the deen is taken away, masjids are taken away, our salah was taken away. Salah we've just prayed, eh? Yes, we have gaps of 2 feet, meter, don't know where he stood. Yes, there's no salah on our own, not in jama'ah and congregation. We're in between, we're hanging in between. So anyway, deen's been taken away from us, dunya taken away from us, peace taken away from us. If this is not adab, then what else is it, my brothers? What's the reason for adab? Was we are ghafil when there's fitna and sins, then coronavirus came. Barabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. Subhanak. Coronavirus has come. This is also not batil. This is not a defect. This is Allah who sent it. So there's a benefit in it. Long term. Yes? So we know it's adab. We know it's a punishment due to us being ghafil. So what's coronavirus saying to us? That I am, the sickness is saying, don't do this. Don't do this. What's this disease saying? Corona. Corona. Don't do this. And what should you do? Corona. Come on, do this. Do the dhikr of Allah. So the name is like this. Well, if you look at it in a different angle, that come on, do this. Corona is reminding us, read it in a style, Corona, do what? Do the dhikr of Allah. Do the dhikr of Allah, then ghaflat will go, laziness will go, ignorance will go, because dhikr and ignorance are two opposite things, like night and day, darkness and light, morning and evening. Where there's dhikr, there will be no ghaflat, no ghafil. When there will be no laziness, ignorance, then there will be no sins. And where there's dhikr, there will be no laziness, ignorance. And where there's no ignorance, there will be no sin. In the same way, for this reason, the dhakirin, who do dhikr of Allah, yes, they do commit sins, they make mistakes, but they have high level recognition, they do tawbah. But those who don't do dhikr of Allah, they have no recognition that they're sinning. Not even aware, don't care. So I'm talking about proper dhikr. By doing dhikr, a person before he does dhikr, he's repenting, I won't do this, I won't do this. Just like I said, the conditions of tawbah, those people are false, who commit fraud, who say that after dhikr, I can't reform myself, improve myself, because they didn't make the promises, they were lying. I don't know what was in their minds at the time they were doing tawbah. Those who promise Allah, then He'll promise when He wants to leave the bad, when He wants to do good. So if you have to give promises before learning dhikr, Allah, I won't do this, X, Y, Z, these sins. When a person promises, then after learning and doing tawbah and learning dhikr, how can he commit sins? But if people commit sins continuously after doing dhikr and after doing tawbah, they were fraudsters, they were lying, they didn't do proper tawbah. That's why they're sinning ongoing. So if somebody's made a true promise to Allah, then that person has to be steadfast. So when a person after making promises, if he commits sins and he's got shame, regret, remorse, then he does tawbah on top of that. But after doing tawbah, doing dhikr, and you stick to the sins, your house is the same, your family is the same, the sins are the same, that double adab he will deserve Allah, he's trying to deceive Allah, just like those who had no iman used to do. So ghaflat, ignorance, and laziness and dhikr are two opposite things. Where there's dhikr, there's no ghaflat. And where there's ghaflat, where there's no ghaflat, there's no sins. That's why the dhikr of Allah is the greatest cure for laziness and ignorance and being a ghafil. The action that will save people most from the adab, punishment, the grave, is the dhikr of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ told us this in the hadith. That's why when a person does dhikr of Allah, because his adab will reduce when he'll go into the grave. So the sickness has come. He's saying, Karuna, come on, do it, foolish people. Adab has come, spread around you, surrounding you. This one cure to get rid of this ignorance and disease. Do the dhikr of Allah. Remember, Allah said, tell me, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila wa subhanaka faqina adhabana. This is a benefit for us. Adab, corona has come. Message, if you do dhikr, you'll be safe from this permanent disease and you'll get shifa. I've come to give you a message, says this disease, corona. Do the dhikr of Allah. Start doing the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. Push yourself. When you start remembering Allah, then you'll be safe from permanent long-term disease and severity of punishment in this dunya. So, Allah Ta'ala, when this illness came from Allah, Allah sent this sickness, this disease. So, has this not become rahmah, mercy? For those who understand it, will not reduce the adab long term. If a person has understanding wisdom, he'll say that this disease is Allah sent as a message that do dhikr of Allah, reform ourselves, improve ourselves. Immediately we should embark on the path of dhikr in our lives. So it's proven. It's proven what we realize is that Allah Ta'ala has sent us to this world. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاتِنَا سُبْحَانَكَ. Allah Ta'ala says that I manufactured this world, I created this world, but there's no defects in this world, there's no cracks in this world. Where there is short term, you see apparent loss, but the long term benefit is there. Yes, there are problems in life, difficulties, sadness, downfalls, hurdles, obstacles, but the benefits are beyond the defects or the problems that we see in front of us. The apparent problems we see. Now tell me, when we go to paradise, we'll go due to life in this world, won't we? Tell me, that when we get the rewards of paradise, it will be due to the struggles in this world, won't it be? Subhanallah. When we see Allah in the hereafter, it will be due to the distresses and the sadness that we experience in this world, won't it be? Of course. It's the amal of this world that will give us, for example, when you say Subhanallah, the tree is rooted in Jannah for you. So this world is the farmland, it's the plowing land for the hereafter. You are sowing the seeds in this world and earning the hereafter. That this dunya gives the benefit for the hereafter. Subhanallah. It's this world due to which we will see the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah, in the hereafter. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Due to struggling in this world. Making effort in this world. It's due to the efforts of this world that all the ibadah, the worship of Allah that we're doing this world. It's this dunya that Quran is spread in front of us. We're reading the Quran. We're making effort. And this dunya will give us all of that full flight. This world is full of opportunities. It's the world that we live in that gives us the hereafter. So how can this dunya be batil and falsehood? No. So the dunya, in parallel, there are benefits. But if we take the benefit from these benefits, yes, if we take advantage of the benefits, the dunya, every second moment in the life of a mu'min takes him close to paradise. Every second is what the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hadith Mubarak, Honorable Hadith, that when you pass by the gardens of paradise, then graze in them, eat from them. What are the gardens of paradise? Fartau. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, graze in the gardens. That when you pass by the gardens of paradise, fartau, graze like the animals graze and eat, consume. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the gardens of paradise in this world? Tell us, we can't see them. Which gardens are they? Rasulullah said, the halaqa dhikr, the halaqa, the gatherings of the halaqa dhikr. The gatherings, the assemblies of dhikr where people gather to remember Allah, they are the gardens of paradise. And we don't understand that, but they are the gardens of paradise. We can't see it, but they are. So if you come and consume the fruits of paradise in this world, then does this world not give us benefit? Of course it does. If we utilize it properly. So there's nothing that Allah has created that is without benefit. In this world, Allah spoke both things in parallel. Profit and loss. Good things and defective things that if we go towards them. But beneficial things are here for sure. If we take them and take advantage. This is sunnati ilahi. Sunnah of Allah. If there's thirst, if a person is thirsty, then definitely the solution is there to quench the thirst. Water. If you're hungry, Allah has created food to do away with your hunger. If there's darkness, Allah has created light to do away with the darkness. If there's sickness, Allah has created the cures to remedy your sickness. Somebody's got pain, Allah has given ease and comfort and pain-free life as well. If Allah has given you desires of your nafs, then to remove the desires of the nafs, Allah has prepared in the world. Get married. So there's nothing there in the world that Allah Ta'ala has given us something that we think is defective, but the benefit is there. Two opposites are always running in parallel. Both things are present. And you can also see, subhanAllah, that here there's darkness and there's light. There's everything. So there are sins here and there's thawab. There are good deeds and there are bad deeds in this world. SubhanAllah. After that, after putting us into this world, what did Allah Ta'ala give to the insan, to the human being? Subhanallah. What a great justice. Allah gave us understanding, realization, awareness in our minds that we can differentiate, distinguish between bad and good. Wrong and good. We got understanding. The fire is burning. We won't put our hands in that. We have understanding. If I put my hand in this fire, I will burn it. So you won't take hold of it. Even a young child, a small child, subhanallah, you know, 7-8 months old, if you're drinking tea, it will go towards the tea, the little child. I've experienced this, 7-8 month old child. If you're drinking tea, the child, he'll come forward towards the tea. And when you put the hand next to the cup, and it will get burnt, but it won't come again. Because he's understood, he won't touch that cup. Even the young child, because from birth Allah has given us understanding, awareness. Allah hasn't taught the child, 6, 7, 8 months old child. Once his hand gets affected by the heat, he'll understand that this item, don't put my hand in this fire or heat. As a child grows up, then the understanding and consciousness increases, the awareness increases. So we realize here that the human being has that inbuilt awareness. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put two forces within us. Two forces. Remember this. Allah has given us the energy and the power that shar and khair, both things are present around us, within us. And wherever we want to go, we can go. We have got that control, the self-control. Because Allah has given us that freedom of willpower. Allah has given us the freedom. But the willpower as well has given us understanding. You've got akal. You know something's right, something's wrong. Allah has given us the energy. If you want to leave, you can leave it. You're not compelled to do bad. Is there anything greater than this? So easy and smooth Allah has made it for a human being to go into paradise. There's no limit to the simplicity, the ease with which we can go to paradise. But behind us, we've got the force of shaitan, nafs. They're doing their work. They're running after us. They're working hard. And despite having so much effort, Allah has given us awareness, control. Even then the human being, he runs after impure, dirty actions because shaitan's working hard. He's in overtime. He's working with his company's assistants. He's grabbing hold of the human beings, influencing them, trying to deviate them. Even then the human being, he becomes weak. And then shaitan, he overwhelms the human being. The human being tries to become stronger. Shaitan still runs after him, overwhelms him. Pulls him down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I have created something greater than this to for you to annul shaitan. To fight off shaitan. Allah says, I've created for your awareness, energy. Even then shaitan overwhelms you. Allah says, even then I'll give you a greater tool and assistance and resource to beat off shaitan. What's that? Allah says, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ. Allah says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى. Allah says that after giving you all of this, but verily there comes to you from me a guidance. I will keep on sending you a guidance, a guidance. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ. Hudaya, Allah says, my assistance and help will continue to come to me. And such a great assistance and help of mine will come to you after that. Shaitan will not be able to come close to you. He, the munafiq, will not be able to come close to you. You will be very easily be able to distinguish between right and wrong. You will never burn your hands. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَايَ. Allah is clearly explaining to us that I will give you, despite shaitan and nafs full force, I will open up the path of guidance for you. What are the paths of guidance? What is hudan? Hudan faman tabiya hudaya. Allahu Akbar. Kitab and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Yes, Allah says, from me a guidance will come. Ya'tiyanakum minni hudan. Allah says, I've opened the path of guidance for you, the kitab and my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, despite all the negative influences in the world, my kitab and my Rasul will come to yourself. No generation Allah Ta'ala left devoid. There was no generation in the history of mankind when a human started to become weak, shaitan was stronger, and the human beings forgot what they were about, their objective, and the wrong negative sins came more into their life. When the energy of man took him more towards sin, immediately Allah Ta'ala then sent his Nabi to the world, his Prophet to the world. And the sahifas came, the books came, the kitabs came, the scriptures came, all the list is present. The prophets continue to come, continue from. Allah promised, I will continue to give you the guidance. Allah says, يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ. Allah says, no time in the history of man did I leave empty void with my guidance. They kept on coming to you, kept on coming to you. Guidance kept on coming to you, mankind. Subhanallah. arriving, the Nabis came, Torah, Injil, Zabur, the Psalms, the scriptures, and Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and finally, eventually, alhamdulillah, the kitab that I'm reading, so I'm not reading the Torah or the Zabur or the Injil, subhanAllah, what I'm reading in front of you, what you're understanding, listening. This glorious kitab is unique beyond unique. We have got this glorious status. Who's telling us this? Which hadaya has Allah Ta'ala given to us? Which guidance has given to us? Allah says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. Hudan, what is this hudan? What is this guidance? Allah has given us hidayah of what? Allah Akbar. Imam ul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, Habib Rabbil Alameen, the beloved of the universe, creator. And he is our guidance. And now the Quran, in the form of the Quran, which is the Torah, Injil, all the scriptures, Allah says, everything comprehensive, 100%. Totality of guidance Allah has given in the Quran. The final Nabi after whom there will be no prophets. Such a prophet who is the head of all the prophets, Imamul Anbiya. The Imam of the prophets, from Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he is the head of all the prophets. The master of the prophets. And in his nation we are born. So I've got the Quran as guidance. Allah sent me the Quran. And Imamul Anbiya sallallahu alayhi salam, his beloved lifestyle, his beloved mannerisms, character. What a great reward Allah has given to me and you. We cannot imagine or be grateful for this reward. Allah has given us this reward, supreme. Okay, we could have been born in the nation of Musa alayhi salam or Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Isn't it? They were Nabis, they were prophets. And they came, they had kitabs, books. But subhanAllah, Allah's massive favor on us. This kitab we've been given. The greatest kitab, the seal of the kitabs. Just like the Prophet, there's no greater Rasul than great. That's why, that's the same way, there's no greater kitab than this Quran. No scripture greater than this. Everything's been sealed and delivered and revealed in this kitab, the final kitab. Total guidance from Alif Lam Mim to Nas. Allah sealed and delivered and revealed this Quran to us, and we are in His Ummah. We're in that nation. We're not blind. We've got guidance beyond guidance. So if Allah has given such a great reward to this Ummah, me, you and all of the Muslimin, Musa alayhi salam's nation didn't get this. Isa alayhi salam's nation didn't get this. All the previous prophets didn't get this guidance. This is such a great reward we've got. The Anbiya, they had desired Allah. If only we could also be included in the Ummah, the nation of the final Prophet Muhammad sallam, that these rewards that you've given to the final nation, subhanAllah, the prophets had the desire to be in this Ummah. Think about this point. Which kitab Allah Ta'ala has given to us? Which Nabi Allah Ta'ala has given to us? Allah Ta'ala is that Musa alayhi salam was the previous, the many thousands of prophets, the Torah, the Injil, Isa alayhi salam, the Zabur, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam, all the previous ummahs had kitabs, the prophets, but as subhanAllah, what great mercy of Allah, our maqam, our status, for this reason, for this connection, today me and you, Allah subhanAllah said, you are the greatest ummah, the greatest prophet with the greatest ummah, the superior ummah you are, O Muslims, that the greater the Nabi, the greatest prophet, then whoever's attached to him, connected to him, then you'll be in a great state. Just like if you have a king, for example, a king or a president, and then you have the ministers and the secretaries who are underneath the king or the prime minister or president. If we take the king, he has his ministers, he has his courtiers. If you have the president, he has his vice president, the prime minister has ministers, cabinet. You say, I'm the cabinet member. I'm the cabinet member. He'll say, I'm the secretary of state. I'm the first secretary, second secretary, third secretary. Everybody in the Muslim Ummah say, the previous Ummah say, we are Ummatis of Musa alayhi salam, Isa. But what we all say, we are the Ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the master of the two worlds. We are the Ummatis of the beloved of Allah. And then we shout out in the Rota, we'll have this great maqam of the Muslimin, the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tell me, this great status, this maqam of glory Allah gave due to our connection with the master of the two worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a great connection Allah has given to us. Great nisbat, great relationship that Allah gave to no previous ummah before us, that He's given to me, you, and all of the ummah. And after that, such a great kitab, the Quran, the greatest kitab. Is this not the case? And in the Quran, Allah has stated that I have sent you to this world and I've given you the path of guidance. Allah is addressing us directly. Forget the previous nations, other things. The Quran is telling me, O servant of Allah, Allah says, I gave you Quran, I gave you the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable and dignified and great, great connection, and you are recognized by his connection in this world. Isn't this the case, my brothers? So then, what a great, great mercy of Allah, favor of Allah, ease that Allah Ta'ala has given to us with this kitab, such a great hadaya. He's connected us to the greatest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his greatest lifestyle and guidance. Then, on top of that, what does Allah Ta'ala said after that? فَمَا تَبِعْ هُدَايَ, that the person this subhanAllah, this guidance I've sent to you, Allah says, فَمَن تَبِعْ هُدَايَ Allah says, whoever then follows this guidance, which guidance? This kitab of the Quran and the Holy Prophet ﷺ's physical sharia and sunnah. I told you before, every verse of the Quran repeats the same message. O mu'mineen, O people of belief, read the Quran, understand the Quran, because we know Allah knew the Ummah would forget this point. They will take out many other meanings from the Quran, derive many other factors, big bayans and conferences and speeches, but the real essence of the Quran, they'll wipe away, eliminate. But the real crux of the Quranic matter, the meaning is that don't forget, every verse of the Quran proves, Allah says, don't forget, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ, don't forget this. Allah says here, فَمَا تَبِعْ هُدَايَ, the hidayah that I give to you, what's that hidayah? Quran and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, ittiba, obedience and following his sunnah. The whole game is pivoting on these two factors. The maqam, the status that Allah Ta'ala has given to me and you and the ummah, that we are grateful for this now. We discard the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we don't know about his life, his tariqah, lifelong, our lifestyles. The look at the life of the Ummah today, their style. Can you see the Holy Prophet's, the color of the Quran and the Holy Prophet ﷺ's sunnah, his physical practice? Do you see in any household? Do you see anyone's life? Do you see it in anyone's sister, daughter? Do we see it? Same people's colors and effects we see. Those people who are maghdoob, who Allah Ta'ala said they will be punished. Wala daleen. Allah says maghdoob. We see there. Implementation, brothers, we need to look towards our households and families. Let's look, scan with our eyes top to toe, top down, where our clothes are hanging in the wardrobes. Open the wardrobes, what clothes are hanging there? What attire? Your clothes, your daughters, your wife, your daughters, your women folk. What are they wearing? What are we wearing? What's hung on our walls in our homes? What's hung in our walls? What's coming out of those boxes that are hanging on to the walls that we've decorated our walls with? What's coming out of those boxes? So extremely sad that such a great ummah, such a maqam Allah has given to us, such a great maqam and status. Allah says, subhanAllah, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَايًا فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَايًا. Allah says that you have to follow this hidayah. Quran is a clear kitab. No kitab was clear as the Quran. And clear lifestyle and guidance of the Holy Prophet is some physical lifestyle. And if Rasulullah told us this, that I am giving you the Quran as guidance, and Allah says, I'm giving this Quran to my Habib, and this is hidayah that Allah Ta'ala gave to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So much mercy, Allah says, you have no need to worry about anything, Allah says. No need. He, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is an example to you, the best example. Eating example, how to get married, you get from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every action in your life, that how to bring up your children, you get from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything, total example, you'll get via the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. You will not see the detail in any other previous prophet that you can get from the detail of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. I have no need to think, if I want to embark on a journey of business, just look at the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What's the message from the sunnah? Every action in life, so easy for us, simple. We don't, for example, you have a dictionary, you're looking for a definition of words, you open the dictionary, this dictionary, or you get the meaning of the word straight away. In the same way, lifestyle, how should I live? Pick up the kitab of the sunnah, look at every page, how do we live a life? But shaitan, when we open the dictionary, we open the Quran, we go towards them. What have they said? What should we do? How are they saying we should live life, make life to the full, live life to the full, and so much niceties come to life. You do this in your world and your children become like this, and look at the hal now, the consequences. Yes, this dunya that we don't know about the preparation of the hereafter, how we're living in the world today, Allah says, gave a great status. We follow His guidance. The same way the hisab, the consequences will be severe. So Allah Ta'ala asked me that my greatest Nabi, you are in his ummah, in his nation, I gave the greatest kitab, I gave the greatest lifestyle, the sunnah, that on the day of judgment, this is the ummah that will go into Jannah first, and everybody will be stood behind in a line. And tell me, what guidance did we follow? Such great guidance we're wasting so easily. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah says that the Prophet Muhammad is the greatest example for you as guidance. And Allah says that I will created a special jama'ah. 124,000 noble companions were present. Every companion was a reflection of the Prophet ﷺ's lifestyle. And every companion, Rasulullah ﷺ said, every one of my companions is like a star in the sky. Whichever star you follow, you will be guided. You will be guided. SubhanAllah. Such a jama'ah, complete jama'ah, congregation, that one sahabi is practicing, that you can close your eyes and say he's not an innovator, he's not doing anything wrong, he's not doing shirk. If he is a Sahabi Rasul, companion of the Prophet ﷺ, whatever he's doing, the action will lead us to paradise. He, Allah Ta'ala, created such human beings, the Sahaba, that if he imitates, he will imitate only the Prophet ﷺ. Can there be a greater guidance and description than this? And even after that, we're blind? No. Let's not go to the Sunnah for guidance. Let's get it from other society and modern ways. Our advancement progression is from here. Can there be a more wretched culmination like us? Right? That's why our Kaaba is closed, Madinatul Manawara closed. Oh, where's the Quran that we read and put on the shelf? Where is that? We recite the functions and the assemblies. Why are we banging the drum of something hollow? Even now the disease, Corona, is saying that after this, do it. The message of the disease is that your masjids have gone. Do something. What should we do? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Do the dhikr of Allah. Fadhkuruni adhkurum. Adhkurkum. Allah says, fadhkuruni. Remember me. After you do dhikr, laziness will go, ignorance will go, your sins will go, and you'll be saved from a permanent adab. Allah has given you sicknesses, so His mercy has come. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Allah says, coronavirus is a reminder for you. It's not a defect, rather it's come to remind you of the haq, the truth. You say there's no vaccine, there's no solution, there's no medicines. Our servants of Allah, that all day and night, we've got masks on our mouths, we've got face coverings, we've got problems and issues. Allah says, remove the barriers. Allah says, money, we're running after money. Even if we're naked, our children were happy. Oh, we've come to this country, we have to live like this. Daughters earning, mothers earning, wives earning. Can there be more wretchedness than this? That the women earn and we eat off their money for wedding before the marriage partner is made. No, I need such a wife who's educated, who works. She's a career woman who goes to the office. Then she throws the shoes on you. Unnatural lifestyle, the Quran said, it's a sin, it's haram. And it's our demand of life today. We say we're Muslims. Small trim beards and faces that are disfigured and spoilt. And Quran. And then we'll say in tafsir, we're learning Quran. Ilm, knowledge. What knowledge? What a massive deception and delusion. Is this Quran I'm reading or is this the Gita I'm reciting from? The Quran has told us this today in this verse. Hasn't it? فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَانْ فَمَنْ تَبِيَ. Listen, I'm giving you guidance. Don't you understand what Hidayah Allah has given to us? Clear explanation of this verse. What hidayah is Allah Ta'ala given to us? Which guidance is it? The Quran and Rasulullah Sunnah, is this not hidayah? Is this not, are we not in need with this? Is the tafsir of the Quran not in need with this? This is hidayah? Subhanallah. So this great kitab, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his Sunnah, we cry after this and we complain. If adab is not going to come, then what is going to come about this? Allah Ta'ala stated, فَمَنْ تَبِيَا هُدَايَا. So well, here now comes the reward. That whoever follows my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah, his Sharia, and he understands that this life in this world is a testing ground, examination, nothing is defective. If a sickness comes, a sadness comes, a distress comes, enough after that he attains guidance, then he becomes happy. I have no care with the sickness. After the sickness, at least I've got a new lease of life. At least after this difficulty, I've got the proper life. If you get a shake in the world and you drop down, but after falling down, at least I stand up and I correct my life. Big sins you've committed after sinning. If you get the awareness, understand I was doing wrong before, then you've got the benefit, haven't you? That if I didn't get shaken and if I didn't get jolted, then after this adab, what will I do if I don't get reminded by Allah that I should come to the right path? So Allah says, "Faman tabi'a hudaya." Then look at the two times in this verse the guidance has come. First it comes, "Minni hudan." Allah says, "Faimma yatiyannakum minni hudan." The guidance I've given to you. فَمَنْ تَبِيَ هُدَايَ. Allah says, whoever follows this guidance, subhanallah, this hidayah that Allah Ta'ala has given, that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, first, Allah says, hudan, and Allah Ta'ala here said that the first hudan, the guidance, was common. It was common. The second time, Allah said, hidayah, specific about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has clearly made this. So the whole Prophet His connection is a special message to the Ummah here in this verse. That this hidayah, whoever has attained it, implemented in his life, the Sharia and the Sunnah according to that, he's lived his life and decided eating, drinking, standing, sitting, business, journey, travel, and he saves himself from haram, immodest things, his children, a good connection, the right connection, according to the Sharia. Yes, not running after love and I love this child, I do everything for him and I discard the Sharia. No, this is my child, he's disobedient. What does the Sharia say I need to do? What's the guidance? If you just run after love and desires, you'll fail in that test.
Sharia, grab hold of the Sharia, that balance way and control yourself.
So Iman doesn't say run after the desires and blind love. Sharia says implement me, children, wife, relatives. What do we do here? No, I love this child more, or this relative become upset. No, no, every decision based on Sharia, Allah's principles, rules. Fasalu ahlu dhikr in kuntum la ta'lamun. If you don't know the rules, principles, then ask those who know, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, the ahlu dhikr, the good muftis, the upright pious scholars who do dhikr, whose batin, hearts are clean, ask them, they'll tell you the guidance. Don't decide for yourself based on your nafs. Yes, you'll die as a person without iman. Listen to what the Quran says. فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا. Those people who follow my guidances according to Sharia and live their life according to the Sunnah, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah says, there shall be no fear. No fear will come upon them. Such a great reward. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This reward will be given to them. First reward, Allah Ta'ala has explained. خَوْف and sadness. Fear and grief. What's khawf? Fear and grief. The difference is that fear happens before and grief comes after the event. You understand what I'm saying? Or you don't? How? For example, sickness. So sickness, before the sickness comes disease, like, oh, I don't want to get coronavirus. I don't want to get afflicted by the disease. This is called fear in advance. It hasn't happened, but you're afraid. Oh, I don't want to have been in an accident. Oh, I don't want to catch this flu or sickness. Oh, may this not happen to me. It hasn't happened yet. The event hasn't taken place yet. Before the accident or the event, that's khawf. That's also extreme fear. Now, corona, the fear spread. What a massive fear that spread. It didn't happen to many people. It hasn't afflicted people. But every man is afflicted by the fear. He's died out of fear, you could say. Yeah? Yeah, 8 months, they're locked in the homes. This is called khawf. The event hasn't taken place in their lives, but they're afraid. And what is grief? That after the event takes place, the pain, that's the grief afterwards. In other words, corona hasn't happened. This is an example. So they have fear in advance. If it occurs, after it occurs, the pain and the loss, that's the grief. Because you're afflicted by that issue. Oh, I'm going to die now. So Allah says, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah says, those who follow Mahabib, follow his Sharia and his Sunnah, they follow Muhammad, Allah is guaranteeing his final kitab, akhir in the Quran. Don't worry. You aren't satanic people who break the Sharia and the Sunnah and you spoil your life and live your life against that. You take something, you accept something, you leave something, you discard something, you embrace something. No. Allah says, for those people, I will create such a disease. It won't happen to you, but despite it not happening to you, even then you'll be dead. Such events that due to fear, Allah says they'll pass away. Forget about being afflicted by the deeds, out of fear they'll die. وَلَاهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. When they're surrounded and gripped by that calamity, Allah says due to the pain, they will pass away. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَمَن سُبْحَانَلَّهُ. فَمَن تَبِيَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ. Those who follow Sharia and Sunnah of Mahabib, never will the illness of khawf come to them. That's also khawf. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Subhanallah. There'll be no grief, no calamity. So this is with regards to the dunya and in the hereafter. This applies to the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala has given good news. Good news. What does that mean? Then hereafter, Allah says that you'll have no issues. You'll have no fear that I'll get azab, punishment. Allah's gonna punish me. His heart, the fear will be removed. Rather, he'll wait for death. He'll wait for going into the grave. He'll be waiting for the hereafter, looking forward to it. Because there's no fear. If you're not afraid of anything, then you'll consider it good. You'll look forward to it. And because you have no khawf, no fear, so Allah's given him a reward. So yahzanun, then the question doesn't arise. If you're not afraid, then the grief will never come. If there's no fear, then how can the grief come? Isn't it? So here, good news for the people who are righteous. Allah says, he won't have fear for the hereafter, life in the hereafter, and nor will he have grief, because now grief will come. So he said, what a beautiful point Allah Ta'ala said. So, a great scholar stated that here, Allah Ta'ala has shown us that azab is annulled and thawab is proven, that 100% Jannah is attained. In this world, people have been given the good news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the good news that you have attained paradise. You are a person of paradise. Which people? Allahu Akbar. Those people who, فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, who implement and adhere their lives to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحَزَنُونَ. This is a jama'ah, a congregation,
the congregation of the friends of Allah, when the fear comes out to them about what's about to occur, I'm going to die, this is going to happen, I'm going to die hungry. When this khawf is there, after khawf of dunya, a person starts to do impure actions. Oh, my business, what shall I do? Shall I burn it down? Shall I take a loan? Run after interest? If I don't do this, a khawf destroys the world. If he doesn't have any khawf, what's the wrong? What's the problem? What's happening? There's no issues. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Where you got fear? Subhanallah. Who are those people? They're the wali. He becomes a wali Allah, that person. This is the sign of the wali. He has no fear. He's not shaking about the dunya and grief about the... If he has no fear, then where will the grief come from? Grief won't come, will it? So his life becomes paradise in this world. So my brothers, again, Allah Ta'ala has given us the same message from the Quran. In the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتُوا رَسُولُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا وَمَنْ يَتُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That if you follow Allah and His Rasul, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Yes, وَمَنْ يَتُوا رَسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحُسْنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. The Quran, beautiful good news for us. Which individual listens to Allah and His Rasul and His orders, who will he be with? He will be with who? Those people, the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. He will be their friends, he will be their companion. In life, his success is based on one thing only. What great, great rewards Allah Ta'ala has given. But shaitan works hard over time. Save yourself from shaitan. There's only one tariqah to be saved from shaitan. And we know what that tariqah is, that method. Take the company of a friend of Allah and take all of the dhikr of Allah. Inshallah, you'll be under the shade of protection. So this tariqah is being given to us by the Prophet. That's why Rasulullah told us, do this action, shaitan will work hard on you. If you do the right things, then he will run away. Do you understand what the Quran is saying? What's this disease telling us today? Corona, do it now. Do the dhikr of Allah now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq, the capability. Inshallah, we'll go to the next verse afterwards. Again, and we'll see what message the Quran is going to. This is a reminder that Quran is refreshing our iman. We don't read the Quran this way, do we? We don't look at the Quran the right way. Allah has given us an opportunity. We are looking at this. Every verse of the Quran is the same message. No other message. No other message in the Quran apart from that in the tafsir. All this other clamor and pomp. No, Quran's one message. Correct your lives in accordance to Allah's deen and the sunnah of Rasul. Let's see how many people change this. How many people do tawbah tonight and say, Allah, that's it, be gone. Let's get rid of the nonsense. Such a big adab if I don't follow Quran and sunnah. Oh, let's get rid of the other things, the wrong things. And without fear, they will live their lives. And I'm hopeful after today, the people who listen and me myself, that we will do tawbah after today. Wa akhru dana wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.